All the energy and the noise and everything with prayer a while ago, we had Sister Shauna come down and stand in for her sister. But in case you missed that, you were involved with something else. Sister Shauna's sister, Stacy, has a return of some cancer, and she needs prayer. And so you need to remember to keep her in your prayers. About 2 weeks ago, we began to pray for Brother Noe's brother that was essentially on life support, and they went down there. I've lost track of time. Might have been 3 weeks ago. They went over there and were with the family and didn't know how that was going to turn out, but people were praying all over the country. I asked him this morning how he was doing. He said he's preaching this morning. Praise God. Praise God. So God does really good work, and we're excited about what he's doing. Glad to have all of our visitors in the house tonight. Excited about what God wants to do in your life. We're going to read tonight from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're making our way through the book of 1 Corinthians, and here in these last three chapters, 12, 13, and 14, we're moving into a discussion of the gifts of the Spirit. And chapter 14 is where you find the mechanics of the gifts. You have a discussion of body unity in chapter 12. You have a discussion of love in chapter 13. And these are prerequisites to being used of God effectively. You've got the Holy Ghost. You've got the gift of God. And some people have a very strong capacity to be used of God in the gifts. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you are used to God's glory. And I am in no way setting the table with a negative about the gifts of the Spirit tonight. We want to walk in them. We want to see them in action. We want them to be a part of everything we do. But we also want to do that as it is pleasing to God, and attitudinally we are right. David lamented for Saul and said, Saul, in his lament for Saul, he said, his shield was vilely cast away, as though it had never been anointed. Saul was anointed, and Saul was a prophet and a king called by God. But David said he vilely cast his shield away, as though he had had no anointing or never had been anointed. So we don't want to wind up like Saul. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. If God gives it to you, it's yours. And he'll let you have that right down to the lip of hell. He'll walk with you. Mercy will walk with you. Grace will walk with you right down to the edge of hell. And then as you plummet into hell, all of those contractual covenantal blessings and promises are stripped away, and you're on your own. But God gave you all that to give you every opportunity to be what God has called you to be. Okay, chapter 14 is the chapter on the nuts and bolts. Let's just look at this for a little bit. 14:1, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Down into the body of the chapter, verse 18, Paul says, I want you to understand, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. And later on, he will say, forbid not to speak in tongues. And we're going to explore this just a little bit tonight. Praise God. As you're seated, let's give God praise and thanks, and let's bless his name. For the word of God forever settled in the heavens, we thank you, mighty God, and we praise you and we worship you. Thank you for your word, oh God, forever settled in the heavens. God, you're so good to us, and we praise you for it. Now, several salient points that we've covered thus far, besides the fact that the prerequisite for the effective use of the gifts is to be in the body, dedicated to the body, walking in unity, chapter 13, in love, impossible to offend you, not carrying grudges, loves everybody, completely vulnerable, open, with the caveat, you're going to get hurt and you're going to get bruises and bumps, but we still open ourselves up just like God does, because he causes his rain to fall on the just and the unjust, and he died for everybody, so you can't cherry pick who you're going to be kind to because he's been kind to us all, and you can't cherry pick who you're going to give mercy to or grace to because God gives out grace and mercy to everybody, and you can't shut off the faucet of grace and mercy without shutting it off for yourself. So you need to get over yourself and come on board with the word of God and understand that if you're going to be effective in the kingdom and actualize your potential and be what God has called you to be, you're going to have to understand and appropriate the word of God. Love everybody. Get connected with the body. You can't live for God outside the body. Okay, and once you're in the body, nobody can drive you away because you're impossible to offend. You are bulletproof because the word of God says if you love his word, it's impossible to offend you. So you've got a choice. How many of you love his word? How many of you are presently or have recently been offended or plan to be offended sometime in the near future? If you are offended or have been offended or are going to be offended, it's just a simple equation. You don't love the word of God. So get over that. Well, praise God. So, chapter 14. And isn't it nice to be baptizing people just at odd hours? And so let's... Let's look at this in a couple of different perspectives. One, we want to look at the gifts of the Spirit. And Paul's going to give us some direction here in regard to that. And we're just going to do this more or less expositionally. But then we're going to talk about speaking in tongues and the power of speaking in tongues. Because Paul here blends the two. Now, we've already talked about the fact that there's a delineation in the types of tongues. There is the type of tongues that you get when you get the Holy Ghost. It becomes your prayer language, and you can speak in that every day of your life for the rest of your life, never requiring an interpretation. That's what happened in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. They didn't do it by two or by three. They didn't do it in order. There was never an interpretation. And chapter 14 says explicitly that when you speak in an unknown tongue that nobody can understand you. But the people in the street that day at Pentecost understood what these folks were saying when they spoke in tongues. You understand what I just told you. You understand there's a difference in speaking in tongues as your prayer language and speaking in tongues as in the gift of the Spirit that requires an interpretation. Time out. We're going to baptize somebody. Let's just begin to pray all over the house. Would you do that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mighty God, mighty God. It's going to be here. Just slow down. It's not going anywhere. Take your time. Just take your time. Ah, hallelujah. Ah, hallelujah. Now, we believe God can fill him with the Holy Ghost right here. Right now, if you've got the Holy Ghost, begin to pray in tongues and just let it cloud up in here. What goes up determines what comes down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Mata yelara na ye. Umbra pate si sandra la la.
Ah, isn't it wonderful? People go down in the water just like they did 2,000 years ago in the Word of God in the book of Acts. We, by the way, if you didn't hear, we baptize in the name of Jesus exclusively because the apostle said, everything you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to the Father. You're going to give glory to God when you call on the name of Jesus because that's his given name for this dispensation. That's where we're living. That's the revealed name of God. It simply means, Jesus means God has become our salvation. It's rough when you're stuck like that, isn't it, man? Good job. Praise God. Chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts. Everybody that wants to walk in the fullness of what God has called you to be and walk in the gifts of God, give him a little praise right now. You really are hungry to walk as God has called you. Ah, mighty God, we love your ways. We desire your ways. Praise God. And here he says, but rather that you prophesy. Now, to set the context here, Paul is writing. We've talked about how hedonistic and full of Hellenism and perversion and fornication and idolatry, all that Corinth was. It was all of those things. But when they got the gospel, they also went off like a rocket. And here Paul begins to tell them, every time you get together, everybody's got a prophecy, everybody's got a tongue, everybody's talking at once. It's pandemonium. You're all exercising the gifts of God, but you're not doing it in any kind of a structured ordered way. And so it's not going to do anybody any good that comes in among you. And so he's beginning to give them some guidelines as to how to effectively walk in the gifts of God. And that's why he here says, but rather that you may prophesy. And that simply in this text simply means to speak to them in an intelligible language, something that they can understand. And so, consequently, verse 2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him. That's the delineation we draw between this passage and Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, the whole street understood what they were saying. Ergo, different types of tongues, different types of manifestation of tongues there. One is the gift of the Spirit. The other is the manifestation of the gift of the Holy Ghost in you, and you'll have that with you for the rest of your Holy Ghost experience. Howbeit, no man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries. We'll come back to that. But he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification and or exhortation and comfort. That's what preaching should be. By the way, let me just stop and say preaching should be edification that builds you up, exhortation that drives you on, and comfort that comes as a solace to your soul in a time of trouble. Preaching is not manipulation, and it's never condemnation. And God help us, it never should be intimidation. Preaching is none of those things. God is a good shepherd. Well, praise God. And the word of God was never meant to beat somebody over the head with, nor to assassinate their spirit. And so that's just part of the flow here. He, verse 4, that speaketh in an unknown tongue, edifieth himself. Now, the anti-tongue talkers, and there are some, the anti-gift people, the anti-tongue talkers, they look at that and they say, well, you see, you edify yourself when you speak in tongues. You don't care about anybody but yourself. And I mean, they just blow it all out of proportion. But Paul's just saying the word is to build. When you speak in tongues, you build yourself. And we'll come back to that. Do you know that the primary responsibility for building you rests with you? When you were a baby, mama and daddy had the business of building you. But when you get to a certain age, it's your job to build yourself. And the world will tear you down, and the devil will tear you down, and your doubts will tear you down. But you've got to be invested in the constructing of your own vessel and your own ministry in the kingdom of God. So you've got to build yourself up. Don't ever stand there and say how stupid you are. Don't ever stand there and say what a loser you are. Don't ever begin to read from the devil's script. You need to begin to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You need to begin to say, I am a child of God, blood bought and spirit filled, and greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. You need to speak the language of faith. And so it's a good thing, oh anti-tongues crowd, it's a good thing to edify yourself. It's your job. So edifying yourself puts you in a position where you, having been well edified, are not subject to the caustic remarks of people around you. And so you're not going to be blown about by the critics and the scorners that perhaps you'll encounter in life because you've built yourself strong. What did Jesus say? He says, a man that obeys my word, I liken him into a man who builds his house upon a rock. Your house is your personal life. Your house is your familial life. Your house is your church life. You've got the job of building it. Noah built an ark to the saving of his household. And so we've got a job to build ourselves and then to build others. You are in no shape to build anybody else if you haven't built well in your own location. All right. So you edify yourself. But he that prophesies edifieth the church. Why? Because it's a message to the church. Prophecy can be forth-telling, as Isaiah spoke in his time of the scattering and regathering of Israel. That was a prophecy concerning something in the future. But he also preached about righteousness. So prophecy can also be a forth-telling. Telling or just simply preaching, if you would. What we're doing in the house tonight is under the heading of prophecy. And so he that prophesies edifies or builds up the church. Now, verse 5, I would that you all spoke with tongues, but rather that you probably see Paul is not an anti-tongues individual. He said, I want everybody to speak in tongues. In one of our text scriptures, he said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. And I want you to know he's not talking about the gift of tongues that requires interpretation. That has to be done two or by three and that by course and let one interpret. That's not what he's talking about. He's just saying, in my own prayer life, ever since I got the Holy Ghost, ever since God knocked me off my horse on the road to Damascus and Ananias laid his hand on me and I was filled with the Spirit, I've been a tongue-talking fool. I've been talking in tongues ever since. And he said, I know. Now listen to him. He's talking to a group of people he's trying to throttle down a little bit because they're just talking in tongues almost too much in their services, if there is such a thing. And he says, I talk in tongues more than all of you. He's among a crowd of people. So I want you to know, he doesn't just speak in tongues sporadically once on Sunday night. He doesn't just speak in tongues a little bit to punctuate his prayer life. This guy digs down. He has a vibrant prayer life in his understanding, but he also digs down and has a vibrant prayer life, deep seasons of prayer, speaking in tongues. We're going to get into that in just a little bit. In your experience, if you want to break free of the tethering influence of this natural world, what holds you back is carnal. What holds you back is natural. What holds you back is an overindulgence in natural things. What launches you, what sets you forth are deep seasons of prayer and shifting the gear and deep seasons of prayer in the Spirit. Praise God. That launches an individual. That will launch a church. But I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For, now listen to this, greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues. And the anti-tongues crowd said, see, tongues is not as important as prophecy. But they don't read the rest of it. Except he interpret. So if you got tongues and interpretation, it's on equal footing with prophecy. It's the same voice of God. It's the same power. It's not as common as prophecy. But it is on equal footing. That the church may receive edifying. Did you understand what I just told you? He said prophecy and tongues are on equal footing if there's an interpretation. And so it's something that he's not dissuading and he's not minimizing. He's not marginalizing. He's just telling you how it works. So the only people that come here with a negative in mind are people that don't believe in speaking in tongues and don't believe in the active use of the gifts of the Spirit, that believe it was something that passed and something that's no longer existent in the earth. But we want you to know you're too late to tell us. We're already talking in tongues, and we plan on doing it more, and we plan on getting lost in it, and we plan on doing that until the Lord comes. Verse 6, now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I speak to you by revelation or by knowledge or by prophecy or by doctrine? He said, I've got to talk in language you understand. And even things without, and so he begins to talk about a distinct sound, trumpets and musical instruments and things that have to have a distinct sound. Verse 9, so likewise, except you utter the tongue by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken, for you shall speak into the air. He said, you've got to get connected with the person. This is about others. Remember, this is about unity. This is about love. This is about edifying the body, building somebody else. This is not just spiritual recreational activity for you, but this is something that God has given you to bless other people. And so you have to break it down into a language that people can understand. So verse 11, if I'm not understood, I shall be as a barbarian to those that don't understand me. So it is incumbent upon us. We have a responsibility to make the gospel understood, to break down the teaching of the word of God, to speak in intelligible languages. Praise God. I don't want to alarm you, but I will tell you this. We are moving steadily toward illiteracy in our country. We're losing words. We're losing grammar. And now with the proliferation of texting and other screen-based media by which we are communicating, people are losing the language. You can read letters from people in the Revolutionary War, in the Civil War, in World War I, in World War II, in Vietnam, and compare those. And as we go, there has been a continual dumbing down of our nation and a continual dumbing down of our verbal skills. I want you to know, what did God give us by which to find him and to serve him? He gave us the word of God. That presupposes a literate people. That presupposes you're not going to be a barbarian. When God leaves the country falls into darkness, and the country falls into paganism, and the country falls into illiteracy. Hand in glove with the rise of immorality and crime and all of the other social negatives, there is illiteracy. Your chances are better in life and better in God when you know how to read. Mom and dad, you got a responsibility. But if you're sitting here and you're a teenager or a young adult and you don't have basic literacy skills, it is your job to edify yourself. It is your job to educate yourself. And you need to get a hold of the word of God and let the word of God become your primer and let it become your textbook and let it become your guide into functional language. And I'm just going to tell you, as I deliver the word of God to you, I deliver it out of my heart and out of my spirit. But at no place do I seek to dumb down the word of God, nor the delivery of the language, because I believe this. I believe you have something in you that's been given to you from God. And that if I raise the bar up for the word of God and the understanding of the word, the majesty of the word of God, that you, if you're hungry, you're going to rise up and lay hold to that and consider it and meditate upon it and embrace it. Well, praise God. Want to be a church that grows, and a church that grows in every direction. So God, the word of God, the very presentation of the word of God presupposes a literate church culture. Well, praise God. So we don't put a premium on ignorance. Well, bless God, we don't want any of those seminary graduates around here, all those people that are messing up the word of God. We're ignorant and we're glad of it. Well, that's never been a recipe for success. you're not going to serve God well. You go back through the Word of God. You read Isaiah. Isaiah is eloquent and powerful. I'm off chasing rabbits right now. So, I don't want to be a barbarian to those I speak to. Verse 12. You are zealous, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Desire spiritual gifts. Seek after spiritual gifts. There is something about this where you have great power in what you request of God. He says you have not because you ask not. Or you ask so that you might consume it upon your own lusts. Have you prayed, God, let me be used in the gifts? Because we need all of the gifts up, running, and operational in the house of God. And more than that, out on the street and in your home. And in moments when you don't know what to do, we need those avenues of spiritual input. We need those open and flowing in our lives. And so there's an insinuation here that these people are hungry for the moving of the gifts of God. You're zealous. Seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. And so in your prayer, God, I want to be used. But always punctuate that. I want to be used for the good of the people of God. One of my constant prayers is just simply this. I want to be effective in the harvest. I want to be a blessing to the people of God. And I want to bring God glory. If I can do those three things, then I'm accomplishing what the mandate of the Word of God is for me on an individual basis. I want to be a blessing to the people of God. I want to be effective in the harvest. And I want to bring God glory in everything that I do. Everybody say amen. Amen. Praise God. You want to be used of God? That's pitiful. You want to be used of God?
Yes.
All right. What is it then? Now, here we get into Paul as he generalizes about speaking in tongues and begins to talk about not only the gift of tongues, but his prayer life in speaking in tongues. What is it then? Verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. For those that might be here that don't understand speaking in tongues tonight, the Bible's very clear. When you speak in tongues, it is an unknown tongue to you, and you don't understand what you're saying. And there's a curious phenomenon with that. Anything I speak, it comes, I can feel it. It comes from here. And I typically can write whatever I say. But I can be in a prayer meeting and speak in tongues for 30 minutes. And then when I'm done, if you held a gun to my head and say, write down some of what you said, you'd have to shoot me because I have no power to recall it because it doesn't flow through here. It's coming up out. It's kind of like when you feel it coming up in the Holy Ghost. Now, this is purely subjective but and anecdotal, but it's coming up out of here. It's like water through a pipe. And while it's there, I hear it, I recognize it, and I say, that's what I've been speaking in for the last season of time spiritually. But after it's gone, drip, it's gone, and I can't recall any of it. We don't understand what we're saying when we're praying in tongues, but God does. Now, when you're in prayer, prayer is an act of faith. You're praying to a God you can't see. You're praying about things that don't make a lot of sense rationally. You're praying that God would provide, but you know he's a spirit, and the ways of God are above our ways like the heavens are above the earth. And so there's not a lot of satisfaction to the rational man as you approach God. The bridge work that we use is the bridge work of faith. And so prayer is an act of faith. But when you begin to pray in tongues, you're shifting gears into an extraordinary experience in faith, because now you are no more than a spectator. You have loaned your vessel to God, because God does everything by the spoken word. The creation was by the spoken word. There was always a prophet. Abraham was a prophet. The patriarchs were all prophets. The kings, David and Saul, were prophets. And the people of God all have the gift and the capacity for prophecy, because God still creates and God still effects change by the spoken word. It is incredible when the scripture said the power of life and death is in the tongue. And that's not just a self-help bullet point. That simply says you've got an incomprehensible power for your own life and your destiny and the shaping of revival in a city by what you say with your mouth. Well, praise God. But I don't understand it. I don't hear what I say. when I'm speaking in tongues. Yeah, I make myself totally vulnerable to God. I totally trust God. I'm loaning God my body, my lungs, my vocal cords, my mouth. I'm loaning God everything. And God is praying a prayer through me that is above my pay grade. He's praying about things in this city. He's praying about things in your families. He's praying about things and speaking things into existence by a prayer of a language that I have no grasp of. Now that is the miraculous presentation of speaking in tongues in the Word of God. Now, why people don't want to have that experience, I'll never know. But the thing that mystifies me more, it would be people that have the Holy Ghost and yet they have not built or cultivated a prayer life, or a prayer life that is fully formed and moving with a life of speaking in other tongues. Well, praise God. Touch your neighbor and say, you need to be a tongue talker. Praise God. But shake him a little bit and say, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to talk in tongues more than you are. I just know it. You're going to have to really, you're going to have to get up early in the morning and stay up late at night if you're going to talk in tongues. Why? Because I found a secret in the Word of God. I know there's power in the name of Jesus. I know there's power in the Word of God. But I know there's power when I let God pray through my vessel. I don't know what to do with this situation. Let's let God pray about it for a while. I don't know what to do about this person. Let's let God pray about it for a while. I don't know where I'm going to get what I need. Let's let God speak about it and pray about it. Ah, God gave that to you. It would be the enemy's desire that you would never use it. God has given that to you. He wants to frustrate you in that. He doesn't want you to unfurl the gifts of God. He wants you to walk in carnal things and natural things and in your understanding and just spend the meager coins that you have in a natural purse. But don't you understand? God has given you a treasure trove in the Spirit. If you'll open it up and let God flow in your life. My God, I wish somebody just shout about that a little bit right now. Ha! Ha! My God, we could just be talking about prayer right now. The answer to everything you need is in prayer. The increase that you need is in prayer. The healing that you need is in prayer. The breakthrough you need is in prayer. The peace you're seeking is in prayer. My God, prayer, what a mighty thing. And then we shift gears. And we engage the turbocharger. My prayer life, my meager prayer life, my little voice, I don't know how that stacks up, but against what God can do and what God can say, I'm a three-cylinder Geo. And God is those big old engines on a big Dreamliner taking flight. Need to pray, church. Need to pray in tongues. Need to pray unreservedly. Need to pray ecstatically. Need to pray with your mind in neutral and just letting God take it and be and do anything He wants to do. Simple experiment. Years ago, Brother Gordon Mallory came through here and in a missionary presentation turned off most of the lights at the end of the service. And we had people break forth in prayer and in worship that had never done that when the lights were on. Because they just feel inhibited. But in the dark, I'm a prayer warrior. In the dark, nobody can see me. I can be wild. Now see, that shouldn't matter to you. But whatever we have to do to climatize this so your prayer life can just break forth, we'll do it. You know, there's a prayer meeting around here on Tuesday nights. And for years, for the first few weeks or months they started, I'd walk around and say, because I'm always leaving here, going out to Bible studies. I've never been a regular at Tuesday night prayer because I got Bible studies every Tuesday night. But I'd turn on some lights and I'd think, somebody's going to break their neck. And as I was leaving, I'd see the lights go out again. These are nocturnal prayer warriors. But something, I don't care. I don't care if you build a bonfire. Just don't build it in here. Whatever we have to do to acculturalize you and make you comfortable with prayer, I don't care. We'll do it. But I've heard the reports of that Tuesday night prayer meeting, and there are things breaking loose and people breaking loose that never break loose on a Sunday night like that. And it's because they feel a liberty when they're not identified by anybody around them. And all it is that you're insecure, and hopefully as you grow confident in the things of God, that will be a passing thing in you. But whatever we have to do, we'll shut out the lights on a Sunday night and just, oh, I think too much, though. I'm seeing broken legs and people with their heads stuck between the chairs. And, you know, all of that. So Tuesday nighters, they get it. And I guess their eyes adjust or something. But you need to pray, and you need to pray in tongues. You need to loose that. Now, we're going to explore that just a little bit here. Verse 15, what is it then? Because he's talking about, in my natural prayer, I understand what I'm saying. In my spirit prayer, in tongues, I don't understand what I'm saying. What is it then? Or what's the resolution of this? Verse 15. I will pray with the spirit. He's praying in tongues. And I will pray with the understanding also. I will. Everybody say, I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit. And I will sing with the understanding also. This is a wonderful piece of revelatory scripture from Paul to us, because he's telling you that your prayer life is contingent upon your will. It's not something God does to you. It's what you do, like your worship. We have a revelation of worship around here. Worship is what I do as unto God. So I don't have to wait for a lightning bolt to hit me to dance and to shout. It is a confining traditional idea that you shout and dance only when God moves on you. David comes dancing by will down Main Street, and he is a man after God's own heart. And then he writes, praise him in the dance. And so I understand that, and I cognize that, and I experience that by will, praising God. The Bible said, clap your hands, so I do. The Bible said, lift up your hands, so I do. The Bible said, praise him in the dance, and so I do. Come before his presence with singing, and we do. So here Paul says, I will pray with my understanding. Just like you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to, you pray with your understanding. By will, you choose to. It's something that you set in motion. But he also says, I will pray in the spirit. That means that it's not a lightning bolt when you speak in tongues. It's not God reaching down and shaking you. It's not God coming in and pushing the button. It's that God has given that to you. The anointing that is within you, the scripture says. You loose that when you're ready, just like you pray in your normal prayer with your understanding. You pray in tongues anytime you want to. Driving down the road, over your cornflakes, at the job, in the church house, wherever you are, whenever you want to, you pull the trigger on it and you speak in tongues at will. This is a revelatory thing. A lot of people are not comfortable with this, but Paul is telling this here today. He said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. Why? Because he doesn't think it's seasonal, and he doesn't think that it's provoked by God, and he understands this is something God's given me, and I use it unto God's glory and to the edification of the body. Are you okay? And I'll sing with the Spirit. Now, that's something, and most folks never get there because they don't develop a vibrant prayer life in tongues. If you never develop a vibrant prayer life in tongues, you never shift into singing in tongues, because one precedes the other. If you don't have a prayer life, you don't speak in tongues. Once you get a prayer life and your understanding, then you might have a pretty good experience in speaking in tongues. But if you never develop that component of prayer, speaking in tongues, you never develop singing in tongues. Now, for people that pray in the dark and that have to have the lights out in order to feel liberty to pray, you're probably going to need to do that in the dark or in solitude. Singing in tongues. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, how do you pray in tongues? Well, I just let that go.
It's like when I was getting the Holy Ghost, one guy on one shoulder was saying, hold on. The other guy was saying, let go. That's why it's important to have altar training and to be coordinated in our efforts. So, but just like you loose yourself to pray in tongues, you loose yourself to sing in tongues. You say, well, I've never done that. Well, it's biblical. Why haven't you? Because you've settled into where you are and what you are, and you don't have a desire to grow in the things of God or to experience a new experience in God. So step up and let and just see what happens. I really tell you about a lot of this. We don't know what we're doing, but here I am walking around in my prayer life, and there's a chain here, and I don't know what it does, but let's pull it. Yeah. Let's see what it does. Here's a big valve. I don't know what it does. Let's open it. And see what happens here. Here's a switch on the wall of my prayer. And I'm walking around in my prayer. Here's a switch. What does it do? I don't know. Let's throw it. You don't want to be timid in your prayer. You want to exercise an adventure in your prayer life. Praise God. Because you just may stumble into some fresh streams of the Holy Ghost. To some understanding and information to a God that is saying, come on, come on, church. To a God that is saying, oh, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. That's not just for repentance in Chronicles. That's an indictment. God is saying, oh, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. What does it have to do with humility? It has to do with people that are afraid of who's watching. People that are afraid of how it might sound. All of those spiritual neurosis. And phobias and all of you need to blast out of all of that business. He said, oh, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. Why is it humbling? It's humbling because I say I need God. It's humbling because I say I can't handle it on my own. And especially men, especially me, men, because I don't ask for help. I'll almost kill myself before I ask for help. I know it's stupid. I understand that. But it's just part of my male malady. I just got that. And so it's tethered together with this business of prayer. And I hate to ask for help. And I imagine it hinders me in my prayer. But I have found the secret and the power and the goodness and the efficacy of humbling myself and saying, God, I pray Jehoshaphat's prayer. I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't have the strength to do it, but my eyes are upon you, oh God. The task before us is too great, but our eyes are upon you, oh God. Come on, men. I want every man in the house to stand up, and I want you to begin to tell God right now, I need you, God. He said, I would that all men everywhere would lift up holy hands without wrath. And I need God. I need more of God. I need the strength of God. I need God's wisdom. I don't know how to raise kids. I don't know how to be a good husband. I don't know how to have revival. I don't know how to win a soul. I don't know how to do my job. But God knows everything. And I want God to come down in my life. I want him to help me. I want him to breathe into my life. This is the efficacy of prayer. This is where prayer, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. And yeah, I know the rest of that scripture. I'm not avoiding that. I'm just saying, let's shine a light, because typically when we read that, it's about repentance. But let's just shine a light on the power of prayer. God's looking at the disaster. God's looking at the impending crisis. God's looking at your need. God's looking at all the things he's called you to be that you haven't mastered yet. All the things that he's called you to be that you haven't grown up into yet. And he's saying, oh, if my people who are called by my name, this doesn't work for just everybody. If my people who are called by my name will just humble themselves, just consider God and pray. Prayer is the rudimentary expression of your faith. If you have no prayer life, you have no faith. You have no faith life if you have no prayer life. The story of the little widow and the unjust judge is about prayer. He opens with, I would that men would pray and faint not. He ends it by saying, and when I return, will I find faith on the earth? He equates prayer and faith. When God's watching your life and he sees a prayerless life, he sees a faithless life. You're just living a carnal life. You can't get anything from God other than the goodness that he just rains down on the just and the unjust. But you can't get what he holds as a treasure for his people. Not without prayer, you can't. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. I have no agenda for this service. I had no notes for this service. We're just doing an exposition in the scripture itself. Because I really do and did want and do want the Holy Ghost to do a work here tonight in regard to our need, to the gifts of God, to prayer, to stepping up into a greater dimension of prayer. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. I can hear Elder Sister Vesta Mangan saying, if prayer is anything at all, if you believe that prayer is anything at all, then prayer is everything. If it is anything, it is everything. And how is it that there's not room in your life or your schedule for prayer, for seasons of prayer, for deep calling unto deep prayer, for praying in tongues prayer, for singing in tongues prayer, without watching a clock, without feeling the pressure of a schedule. This is God's time. And these are precious times when we meet together and we break in our worship service for this time of collective prayer. This is an important season of time for this church. Very, very important. It's important that you loose yourself. But I'll just tell you, I have no agenda in any of these services. If in our time of prayer, you just lose yourself and let God have his way, we could pray for the next 2 hours. And that's sermon enough. That's singing enough. That's weightier than almost anything that we could do. Praise God. Praise God. Why don't we just stop right now? If you've got the Holy Ghost, why don't you just let that Holy Ghost flow through your vessel right now? Let that heavenly language just move through you right now. Let God pray a prayer. If you don't have liberty speaking in tongues, you've received the Holy Ghost, but you don't have liberty, I want you to come down to the altar. Let us pray with you, because you need to tap into that. You need to be able to navigate that all by yourself. Come on down here. Stand in this altar. Lift up your hands. We'll pray with you. God will give you liberty. You need to be able to speak in tongues anytime you need to, anytime you want to. It's a muscle. You've got to exercise it. If you don't use this, you'd lose it. It atrophies. It goes away. It takes energy to open that fissure. It takes energy to open that vein of prayer. The less you do it, the weaker you get. It takes energy to break into that spiritual prayer. The more you do it, the stronger you get in it. This is freestyle. This is a workshop. If you're a walker, walk. If you're a weeper, weep. If you're a travailer, travail. If you're a kneeler, kneel. If you want to lie on your face, whatever you want to do, just pray. There is no greater adventure in all of man's history than a man or a woman moving into the throne room of God. No greater privilege, no greater privilege than to move into the Holy of Holies. This is why he tore the veil. This is why he made a way. He said, I am the way, I'm the door. The door to what? The way to what? This is what he's opened for us. If my people who are called by my name, what does God see? What can you become? What can God loose in your life? What can God do to that enemy that's persistent in your life? If my people, Come on, church, everybody with the Holy Ghost praying in tongues. Everybody in the house praying. Somebody's getting a breakthrough right now. Somebody's exercising what God has given them right now. Press in. Go where you've never gone before. Press in. It'd be good if you could hook up with somebody tonight to lay your hand on somebody or hold somebody's hand. You can pray your own individual prayer, but it's so powerful to hook up with somebody else. Connect with somebody. One of you can set 1,000 to flight. Two of you, 10,000.